Good morning, good morning. It is said here from time to shine. So today we're gonna finalize our study in the book of Micah, and we are in Micah chapter 7. So let's read it through and see what the Lord instructs us. So it says, "Woe is me, for I am like the fruit pickers, like the grape gatherers. There's not a cluster of grapes to eat. Our first ripe fig, which I crave. The only godly person has perished from the land, and there is no upright person among men. All of them lie in wait for bloodshed. Each of them hunts the other with a net. Concerning evil, both hands do it well. The prince asks, also the judge, for a bribe, and a great man speaks the desire of his soul. So they would weave it together. So here, as we can see, Micah displays the impoverishment situation that is happening in the land. As it says in verse 1, there's not a cluster of fruit to eat. They were having a famine, and so there was no food in the land. There was no righteous person in the land. There were the princes, or the prince and the judge were accepting bribes, and great man speaks the desire of his soul. So they were doing their own things, and the Lord saw that. And verse 4, let's continue. It says, the best of them is like a briar, the most upright like a thorn hedge. The day when you post your watchmen, your punishment will come. Then their confusion would occur. Do not trust in a neighbor. Do not have confidence in a friend. From her who lies in your bosom, guard your lips. Her son treats father contemptuously. Daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household." So we can see they were against each other. People were not trusting in each other, for they were going after each other. As such as it says, do not trust in your neighbor, so no neighbor to trust. Do not have confidence in a friend, so no friend either can they trust. It says, from her who lies in your bosom, guard your lips. So not even people who were close, maybe couples, they were not even able to trust on each other. The son treats his father contemptuously. So not even sons would treat their fathers well. Daughters rises up against her mother. So daughters, not even daughters, not even daughter-in-law or mother-in-law. So the whole family was against the whole family. They were against each other. And so if that was a family, imagine when the people outside, as it says, as neighbors and friends. Verse 7, it says, but as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he pleads my case and executes judgment for me. He will bring me out to the light, and I will see his righteousness. So let's see here. Here it says on verse 7, but as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. So he is waiting on God to restore his relationship. He can only look to the Lord for that situation to be restored, for the relationships to be restored, and he will wait for God. On verse 7, I will wait for the Lord my salvation. My God will hear me. Let's see. Until he pleads my case and executes justice for me. So he's going to hold on to God until he restores the relationship. He restores the land from the famine, from the impoverishment, from the lack of relationships that they were having. So verse 10, it says, then my enemy will see, and the shame will cover her who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will look on her. At that time, she will be trampled down like mere of the streets. I will be a day for building your walls. On that day will your boundaries be extended. It will be a day when they will come to you from Assyria and the cities of Egypt, from Egypt even to the Euphrates, even from a sea to sea and a mountain to mountain. And the earth will come desolate because of the inhabitants, on account of the fruit of their deeds. Shepherd your people with your scepter, the flock of your possession, which dwells by itself in the woodland. In the midst of a fruitful field, let them feed in Bashan, Gilead, as the days of old, as in the days when you come out from the land of Egypt. I will show you miracles. So here, verse 10 to 15, God is showing them that yes, they will go through hard times, but that he will restore as he did, how he delivered them from the Egyptians. He will rescue them as well. It says in verse 10, where is the Lord your God? So they're going through all these things, and their other people will question, the people from outside will question, where is your God? How come you're going through so much? And that tends to happen to us when we go through a hard time, when we go through the valley, when we go through trials. But through trials is when we grow the most, for most people. Through trials is when God speaks to our heart deeply and wants or yearns for us to trust him, yearns for us to see him again, yearns for us to get a hold of him and to never let go, to see our downfall, to see our weakness, to see how we live so that he can restore us. So yes, people will say, where's your God? But we know that God works deeply in our beings. He intervenes on our behalf. So God restores the lives of people, maybe through trials, maybe through difficult situations, but it's for our best. He purifies gold. He purifies us. And that's it, what he's doing this part of Micah. So verse 16, it says, nations will see and be ashamed of all their might. They will put their hand on their mouth. Their ears will be deaf. They will lick the dust like a serpent, like reptiles of the earth. They will come trembling out of their fortresses. To their Lord our God, they will come in dread, and they will be afraid before you. So here, the miracles, on verse 15 it says, I will show you miracles. The nations will see and be ashamed of all their might, on verse 16. So God will restore the land, as he had mentioned. He will restore them in that time. And so is with our lives. He will restore us. People will see the miracle that God has done in our lives. And we will never be put to shame. For God is the God of restoration. And so on verse 18, it says, who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession. He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in unchanging love. Amen. So I'm going to continue to verse 19 and 20. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which you swore to our forefathers from the days of old. So here in verse 18, I like what it says, and I need to know this part. And verse 18 starts with, by saying, who is a God like you? And from what I was reading in the commentaries, Micah means who is like Yahweh? So who is like God? Who is like you, God? Who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession. He pardons our sins. And he did that. We can see that at the cross, where he pardoned our sins for eternity on. And he would not allow us to go fishing back for it. As I read through the commentaries, he will put a sign of no fishing in that territory, in that sea, where he would cast our sins down. And so, on verse 19, he says, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities under our foot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. You will have truth. You will give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which you swore to our forefathers from the days. So he will have compassion on us, and he will tread our iniquities under our foot. And yes, so he there, as I mentioned, he will cast our sins down to the sea. And he promises to Jacob and to Abraham that they will be restored. That he promised to them that because of his unchanging love to Abraham, that he will restore. And he swore it to our forefathers. He swore their forefathers, to the Jacob, to Abraham, that he will restore the land, he will bless them, he will multiply them. So yes, that's what God does. So I'm going to leave it there for today. But our main focus here, I like what I mentioned in verse 18, the meaning of the name Micah. Who is like Yahweh? God will see us go through a hard time, but he's the one that can mend our hearts. He's the one that can restore our hearts. He's the one that can do merciful things even when we don't deserve it. And in trials, he would allow us to see once again the daylight and walk with us, because who is like Yahweh. He is our God. He restores, he comforts, he renews us. In our trials, he is with us. In the valley, he is with us. And when we rise up, he will be with us to take us through life. So once again, I hope you have some time over to read Micah chapter 7 and see what the Lord instructs you and teaches you. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Stay encouraged, stay uplifted. Bye-bye.